This is a fascinating show. You're getting ready to listen to Self-Talk with Dr. Ray Self. That'll be me. And today I'm interviewing Josh Radford, who is a world-known, world-traveling evangelist and also a guy who works with churches all over the country and internationally. He has a revelation about what it means to give honor and how honor is the key to opening up heaven's blessings. The key to your miraculous blessing from God actually can come through honor. It's a really fantastic revelation. I think you're going to enjoy this show a lot. And remember, this show is sponsored by the International College of Ministry, now enrolling at icmcollege.org. God bless you. Well, welcome to Self-Talk with Dr. Ray Self. That'll be me. Very excited today to have a special guest. My guest is Josh Radford. I'm from Tampa area, I do believe, if that's correct. And Josh Radford is a worldwide evangelist. And, you know, we have met guys like this before, and I think that's just an incredibly powerful life to live. But more than that, Josh is called to the local church to bring life, to revive the local church, and has a heart for the church and to build the church, to increase the church, to see God's glory in the church. But Josh is an interesting guy, and we have an interesting thing that I want to talk about today, about honor, the key to the miraculous. Honor, the key to the miraculous. Now, Josh, it's very good to have you today on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Self.
I'm very glad you're with us. And again, folks, this show is brought to you by the International College of Ministry, and that's our sponsor. It's the ones that make it happen. And you've heard me talk about it quite a bit, so check it out at icmcollege.org. That's enough of the promo stuff. Let's get into it. So this is really fascinating. We've already had one conversation about this today. Honor, the key to the miraculous. So the big question, I'm kind of a bottom line guy. The big question I immediately would ask is, how is honor related to miraculous? And how does that work? And where does this come from? You know.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much for having me again. And
glad you're here.
As an evangelist, as traveling all over the world, you know, one of the things that I hear from pastors, they say, you know, they see me coming out and doing these meetings, and sometimes they'll say, you know, I want to go and do a meeting. I want to go out and preach somewhere. And one of the things they'll say to me is, you know, when I leave my home church and I go out onto the field or to the mission field or to whatever, it's so powerful and the people receive it and they love it. And, you know, but when I come home, it seems like it's such a spirit of familiarity and it's difficult. And I started to hear this a lot. And started to think about this, and really the Holy Spirit told me, he said, really, it's not a question of anointing and nothing like that. It's a question of a culture of honor. When you have a culture of honor in your church, and I'm not saying none of those churches have a culture of honor, but when there is a high level of honor, there's an honor in the atmosphere of the church, then that makes a breeding ground for the miraculous. What those pastors were experiencing on the mission field, they can come home and experience the same thing because there'll be a culture of honor. And that's really a culture of honor is really where people don't call what is holy as common. And that's one of the things that happens. That's why the familiarity happens with some of these pastors is people are being very common with them. They're not honoring the gift that's coming from them which is holy. So it causes them to kind of lay back, not be on the edge of the seat, lack in hunger, all those type of things. So it creates an atmosphere that is not dynamic, that is not powerful. But when there is this culture of honor, and people are and people become hungry, and people realize that they need to be on the edge of their seats and be really drawing from the gift that's in front of them. That's what honor does. It will draw from the gift that's in front of them. When that happens, Dr. Self, when that happens, the atmosphere is explosive. I know you can relate with that. When you go to a place, a church, a crusade or whatever, and the people are hungry, and they've been waiting 3 days. Maybe they've walked 3 days to get there. That's some honor there. Maybe they've spent their last gas money to travel to your meeting. That's some honor there. And they've not only honored you, but they've honored God with their life. And it causes a total different dynamic, where miracles happen.
I like how you explain this, because I can tell you countless ministers like me who can tell the stories of, you know, in my local church, not much happens. But when I go overseas, or when I go to another town, I experience the miraculous. I mean, I can tell you many pastors and evangelists and ministers who've done that. And even myself, I remember up in the mountains of Guatemala, watching a young guy with a broken leg get up and walk. He had a broken leg. No cast on it. Couldn't get to the doctor, get up and walk. And, you know, you see stuff like that, and you hear stories like this, and people say, well, you know, Jesus couldn't do anything in Nazareth either. But I really like how you explain this. Honor is a key here.
The word honor, from my definition, it means to get under and lift up. To get under and lift up. And whatever you get under and lift up, it's going to get on you. It's going to pour on you. If you lift something up.
Say that again. Wait a minute. Say that again. That's really good.
Well, the word honor, from my definition, is to get under and lift up. And whatever you get under and lift up is going to get on you. That's what's going to happen. It's going to get, you know, this, if you're lifting up and there's water up there or there's something, it's going to splash on you. It's going to be on you. You're going to get affected by what you are lifting up. You're going to touch it. And so that is, you know, my definition of honor. And when we are like that in a church, I'm not talking about an unhealthy worship of man. That's not what I'm talking about at all. What I'm talking about is a healthy dose of respecting the gift that God has sent to your life. You know, in all circumstances, in all scenarios, not just with your pastor, but in all scenarios, you respect that gift. And when you do that, when you honor that, the word respect and honor can be used simultaneously, that when you respect and honor that gift, you're going to receive. Whatever you honor, you will be able to receive from. Whatever you dishonor, you will not be able to receive from. If you have a heart of dishonor towards somebody, it actually puts a blockage around your heart, and it puts a fence around your heart. And we know dishonor leads to offense, fence around there. Yeah.
Excuse me, just to interject here. Excuse me, but
yeah,
is this what you see? Because maybe the local church is so familiar with their pastor. They're so comfortable. I mean, he's the guy, you know, he's the guy that's up there every Sunday, and they've been over to his house. They've had him out to dinner. And is this spirit of familiarity, can it turn into a lack of honor, and that can cause a problem?
Yes, it can. You have to set your line. You have to set your boundary. You have to do that. You have to do that as a mature believer. You know, when I was working at a local church, my pastor was a very famous pastor. Okay. And, very well known. But one of the things, you know, and he had very big staff and all these type of things. And when you get into those situations in a mega type of ministry, you have a lot of staff. You have a lot of murmuring behind the scenes. But I made up my mind that, number one, My pastor was my pastor. He wasn't my buddy. He wasn't my friend, even though he was friendly. You know, he was my pastor, and I was going to receive from the gift that was on his life. I was not going to murmur. I was not going to backbite. I was not going to be familiar with it. I was going to be on the edge of my seat when the man of God came. I made up that mind. I made that boundary. I decided to make up that mind. And this is what, you know, this whole book that I'm writing on Honor Your Key to the Miraculous, or The Key to the Miraculous. You know, I'm trying to help people come out of a spirit of familiarity, come out of any type of dishonor, and be ready to receive miracles.
Yeah.
And a miracle is when God steps out of the supernatural realm into the natural realm, suspends the laws of nature, and causes something that was impossible to become possible. And we all need that. We all need that in our life. We need that in our life. But we hit up against barriers when we are not properly flowing in honor with the gifts of God that have been sent to us. You know, whenever we're in trouble, God's going to send something, somebody to us. And he's got, whenever we, whatever, not just in trouble, but when we need help and moving to the next level, God always sends somebody to us to release a gift in our life to help us. And if we don't treat that properly, we'll miss that opportunity and we'll have to circle around that mountain one more time. And so I want to help people develop a spirit of honor within their own hearts, and so they can receive miracles.
That's so good. And I really like this, because I think as a pastor, and I think I've been in ministry for a long, long time, I've experienced this dynamic playing out so many times, but I've never been able to really define it. The only thing I keep coming back to is when Jesus was at his own hometown and he said he could do no miracles there. And they kept, you know, they looked at, isn't this Joseph's son, Jesus? Oh, we know that guy. He's just the, you know, that's the guy that used to build table legs and stuff for us and make chairs. And we know him. And I guess that same attitude can kind of get into the church. And what church doesn't want the miraculous? Every church wants the miraculous. Yeah. And maybe we're putting a little limit on our pastors.
Well, that is the scripture that I use in the book that I'm writing. Juxtapose, I guess that's a big word, but you're a doctor. So I juxtapose Mark chapter 5 and Mark chapter 6. I put them side by side, and you can see the anointing that Jesus operated in Mark chapter 5. If you're not familiar, if you're hearing this podcast, you're not familiar, just open Mark chapter 5 and you'll see three notable miracles. The man with the legion of devils was delivered and set free. Those devils were cast out. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years was miraculously healed by the power of God coming through Jesus's robe. And then Jairus's daughter was raised from the dead. Now, those, by any stretch of the imagination, those are very notable miracles, very notable miracles. Right. And we obviously know Jesus was the most anointed man to walk the earth, right? He had the spirit without measure. And this anointing that he was flowing in was tremendous, tremendous anointing. What a powerful anointing. But then he comes over to Mark chapter 6 and that same, and he's testifying. You know, I think it's really, really interesting when you start reading the beginning of Mark chapter 6, Jesus is testifying about what just happened. Can I just read some of it?
Yeah, please do.
Do we have time? Okay.
Yes, we do.
In Mark chapter 6, it said, then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is it with which was given to him that such mighty works are performed at his hand? And so he wasn't necessarily doing that. He was teaching about that and telling about what just happened. And so he was testifying about the mighty works that's happened. And they could feel
You know how when somebody tells a testimony, they could feel the anointing coming off the testimony. They were like, wow, what words of wisdom this? Where did he get these things? Where did these stories come from? This is so powerful. And they were saying, and such mighty works were performed at his hands. And Jesus was doing a setup because he was about to flow in miracles. He was about to flow in miracles right here. So he was telling of where he was. And he was about to flow in miracles, and he was setting them up, but they made a fatal error, Dr. Self. Verse 3, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. How do they go from celebrating, yay, wow, powerful testimony, to offended? Well, like within a couple sentences, you know, they went that because they treated what was holy. Wow, this is powerful. This is holy. To, oh, I know you. You went to school with me. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. You're familiar. I'm familiar with you. Yeah. And they kind of shut off the hunger, and they shut off the honor, and immediately became offended. Whatever you dishonor will offend you. You can take that in the natural. You know, if you have a gun, you know, and a loaded gun on your table there, if you just throw that around in the air, throw it across the room, whatever, it's liable to go off and kill somebody, you know, because you are dishonoring that instrument. And that's a natural instrument. And whatever you dishonor is going to hurt you, is going to offend you. And so that's why a lot of people talk about church hurt and all those type of things. Some of that is real, right? Some of that is reality. And, but some came because there was a spirit of dishonor that somebody has to deal with. I'm not talking about abuse or anything. I'm just talking about church hurt. I didn't like this. I didn't like that. I didn't like their strenuous protocols. You know what I mean? Those type of things. And some, what is called church hurt, comes because there's a spirit of dishonor, and what I dishonor will offend me, and I'll become offended. And then we find out, as you keep reading this, you find out, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor. He says it himself, except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few, I like to say a few hungry people, but it says a few sick people, and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. So I know we have a limited amount of time, but so he went, this is what happened. They dishonored him. Okay. They got offended. And offense, whoever you're offended with, you'll start to not believe. You will not believe them. You will question doctrine that you've been serving, been believing for years. You'll question everything. You'll question things that God said to you. Does God really speak today? You all types of things. And funny enough, I was with a pastor a couple of weeks ago, just talking at a table, and he was telling me about a long term member of the church, like somebody who'd been in the church 20, 30 years, had just recently left, somebody I knew had just recently left, and come to find out they came against everything that they were taught over 30 years. Everything. They said they don't believe in miracles. They don't believe in the blessing of God. They don't believe in laying hands on the sick. They, you know, all those type of things. And this is stuff that they were trained in, they were raised in, and all stuff. But all of a sudden, they got offended somehow because of a dishonor and a familiarity with the pastor, and they stopped believing. They stopped believing, and that is a very dangerous place to be when your belief system starts to come down. And so that's what happens when. That's why offense. I mean, sorry, that's why dishonor, which leads to offense, is so diabolical, because it takes you down from dishonor to offense to unbelief. And when you don't believe, there's no faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so that's the road that it goes down.
Question for you.
Yeah.
I love what you're saying. And it's because as you're saying this, I'm thinking in my mind how many times I've seen this play out, the scenario. Right. Oh, that really explains that. Wow, that explains that. Wow, that really explains that. I think, this scenario plays out in family a lot. It played out in Jesus's family too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes the worst culprits can be your own family members, because there's your family, your family can experience the anointing. Say maybe your family, if they refuse to honor you, they can miss out on the anointing that God has placed on your life. If they refuse to recognize and honor the gift of God within you. And I think sometimes this familiar spirit, this refusal to honor, is most likely to happen for people who are most familiar with you. In Nazareth, it was these people who supposedly knew him. And so they refused to honor him. And I think that still happens today. Sometimes this problem occurs a lot with people that are close to you, family, close friends. And then they miss out on the anointing that could flow down through you.
I agree with that. And that's why we've lived that example of honoring the men and women of God in our lives.
Yeah.
So, and I believe that seed that we sowed helped our kids. Helps our kids because I know this is strange. But, I mean, not strange, but a lot of kids are not like our kids, but our kids love my meetings. They love them. They love their favorite preacher. And mainly because my son says, you tell such awesome stories, Dad. He loves my story. He loves all the stories from all the travels. You know what I mean? Okay. And so, but they love being under the anointing of their parents. And, but it's not just because, we brainwashed our kids. It's because we've lived that example of honoring the men and women of God that are ministering to us. And we've told our kids to do that. And we've lived that example in the local church that we actually attend, the local churches that we've attended, as they've been growing up, we've lived that example. And so that's what's helped them. And that's why you have to do that. You have to teach your children these things. I think every young person needs to get my book when it comes out.
Amen. Amen. And I hope people do. So I really like the revelation, that you have, because it just, to me, it explains a mystery that I've experienced, something that I've experienced in my life and I've seen play out with other pastors and ministers and men of God. And I think this revelation you have of lack of honor, the problem of a lack of honor and the blessing of honor, I think that's terrific revelation. It's something that we really need to, it's something I'm going to chew on for a long time.
Can I say one more? Do we have time for one more thing?
Take your time. We're good.
I want to, in my meetings are very dynamic and people come, they want a touch from God, right? They want the man of God to lay hands on them and they want a touch from God, which is wonderful. And I'm going to do that in nearly every meeting that I'm in. But the double portion, that we see from Elijah and Elisha, the increase in the anointing, the favor of God, the blessing of God, that doesn't just come from the laying on of hands, even though they can get a measure of that, when we pray for people, it comes from a lifestyle of honor. I have this saying that honor will cause favor to find you. Mm-hmm. It will find you when even nobody knows your name. If you will be a person of honor, you will sow seeds of honor. You will reap a harvest of favor. Yeah. And I can tell that in my life. That's what happened in my life. Nobody knew my name. And, we'll have more detail in the book, but nobody knew my name at all. Nobody knew who I was. But when I got hired many years ago to be a youth pastor at a very large church with a very well-known pastor, They didn't know me, but because my lifestyle of honor that I had
really paid to the pastors that I grew up under, it caused the spirit of favor to come on me, and it caused the doors to open. Because here's another thing: honor will cause supernatural doors of opportunity to open to you. You're like, wow, that's such favor. That's such a supernatural door. Well, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. It happens because you live a lifestyle of honoring those that go before you and honoring the men and women of God that God has put in your life. That's what will happen. If you don't live like that, if you just like sowing and reaping, if you're not a sower, if you're not generous, you're not going to have a breakthrough in those realms. Okay. You're not going to have a break. And so if you don't sow honor to people, you're not going to receive that harvest of favor. It's not going to happen. You're going to be totally struggling, and you're going to be going around the mountain, around the mountain, around the mountain. That's why it's so important to have a heart of honor, even when nobody is looking, when nobody is, it seems like nobody's paying attention. God is paying attention, and you're sowing those seeds for your future success. Honor. Here's another truth. Honor will cause your destiny to be revealed. Honor is not the easy route, but you must operate in honor to have sustained and eternal success. So those are some things that I really believe in when it comes to operating in honor, and things that will come on your life as you press the, I don't know what you want to call it, but the art of honoring those that have, that God puts in your life.
When you think about it, I mean, it's definitely sowing and reaping for sure.
Yes.
It really is. I think the big trap to me is that familiar spirit. That's what to me was the trap against Jesus. That familiarity can cause us not to honor. I got to be careful. I'm friends with a lot of pastors. I know a lot.
Right, right.
I've traveled for years, like you, maybe not as much as you, but I've done my share. And we become buddies, but I have to remember this principle. I can become friends. Okay to be a friend, but I need to honor. Never stop honoring the gift of God that's in them and who they are and who God created them to be. Critical.
Well, you can decide, you're a mature believer. You realize when that moment of holiness has come, you realize when we're shutting this thing down, right. I'm receiving something from heaven. And that's what I do. I'm obviously friends with lots and lots of pastors, but I realize when that holy moment is that I have to shut that down. I'm not going to be common in this moment. I'm going to receive. I'm going to call what is holy, holy, and not operate in a commonality with people. And, I'll say this kind of in my kind of closing here. We got a few minutes. This is coming to this. People who operate in honor do this. Okay. So this is for all those that are listening. Here's some practical things. People who operate in honor do this. They never treat what is holy as common. Never. Number one. Number two, they don't let their heart get hardened no matter what has happened, which means you have to live in forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Can't let your heart be hardened. Even if it's a situation you got to get out of, you need to operate in forgiveness. And what I like to say, even when somebody's like stupid or you feel like you've been ripped off or whatever, count it as seed. Count that time. So, I've wasted my time in this church or this ministry, even if it's legitimate, right? In an unhealthy situation, count it as seed and operate in forgiveness, and you're going to receive a harvest back from it. So don't ever harden your heart. And here's another one. People of honor, they sow generously. They have a spirit of generosity. You can really tell when somebody honors you, and you'll know this, Dr. Self, is you know, it depends. You know, if people are doing all they can, that's something different. But when people really are generous with you, that's a form of honor. That's a form of honor when people are generous with you, and it unlocks when you're generous with somebody, you unlock the spiritual gifts that are in their life. Amen. That's what happens. That's the reality of that. So they sow generously. Another one right here. People who operate in honor, they serve with love and excellence. And I like to say this is a definition. Me and my friend, who's a pastor, we came up with this definition together. But excellence is not perfection, but it's your best getting better. Excellence is not perfection, but it's your best getting better. And people who operate in honor serve with love and excellence. That's their heart. So people who operate in honor, two more things. People who operate in honor submit with a godly and a good attitude. And then people who operate in honor, they saturate, or they, let me say it this way. People who operate in the honor, they are hungry for the things of God.
Wow.
There you go.
This is so good. so good stuff.
That's all I got for right now.
Well, I mean, it's definitely a download from the Lord for sure. Absolutely. So for those listening, I'm talking to Josh Radford, you know, a worldwide evangelist and called to the church, you know, to build the church and impart to the church. And what is your information? If somebody wants to contact you, could you share some contact? I'll put your contact in the show notes, but what's your contact?
Yeah, they can just go to Revival Life, two L's, revivallife.net. And that's my website. Revivallife.net. And that's the website. And you can just find out everything you want to find out about us right at that website. All my schedule, my itinerary, all the links that you could possibly want, all my social media links, you know, and everything on social media is at Josh Radford, Josh Radford, or on Instagram, I'm at Josh Radford Official. And so we're on X, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. Where, you know, if you just Google my name, Josh Radford, you'll usually find me, but, very easy to find me.
Well, this has been a terrific show. Very important information. Honor, the key to the miraculous. It's the key to your miraculous. It's the key to everyone's miraculous. It was the key to even Jesus's miraculous. Amen.
Right.
Very good stuff. Thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been an honor and a privilege. You want to close us with a little prayer? How about close us out?
Yes. If you want to make sure you have a heart of honor, just join us in this prayer. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person listening to this podcast. And I think every single one of us can have a greater spirit of honor. And the blessing in all of this is as our spirit of honor gets greater, the more of the miraculous we can receive. So I just pray for miracles in every realm for everybody that is listening to this podcast today in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Josh Radford. God bless you. And thank you everyone for listening to Self-Talk with me, Dr. Ray Self. God bless you, all of you. God bless you. Thank you so much, everyone. This is Dr. Ray Self. I hope you enjoyed listening to today's show and my interview with Josh Radford. Wasn't that amazing revelation and how critical it is for us to honor the gifts of God in our life and what happens if we don't? It's a principle of sowing and reaping that cannot fail. So I hope this show was a blessing to you. Again, please remember our website. That is icmcollege.org/self-talk, icmcollege.org/self-talk. There you can subscribe, rate, review. All that helps us. It helps this show get more downloads and helps us get the message out. So share this show with as many people as you can. We appreciate you. If you feel the Holy Spirit leading you to donate, which would really, really would be grateful for, go to icmcollege.org/donate. I appreciate you very much, and thank you for listening to another episode of Self-Talk with Dr. Ray Self. And I pray many blessings of God and his favor on you as you learn the principle of honor. Amen.